For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
As we come before the Word and become by the Spirit, Lord, that we have clarity and understanding, and we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're looking tonight, this subject is being a Christian consistent in the Word, and let's look at Psalm 119 verse 133, because the first elements of this are that the Word of God itself is consistent. That makes sense. God is a God who is a God of order and consistency, and although God is infinite, He's not infinitely all options. He certainly is against the option that is against Himself. So it cannot be all options, but God is a God of order. And God is a God of order, and therefore what He says is of His way. Psalm 119 verse 133. So Christianity itself is also not chaos. It's not do as thy wilt. It's not maybe the Spirit's leading me this way or that way. You never know. And then it's going to be, you know, contradictory or self-serving for the person. No, the Spirit of God is consistent as well. And yes, there's diversity. There's different people with different gifts. But there's certainly not things that are contrary one to another. Therefore, God's kingdom is not some people going one way and some pulling in the opposite direction. As Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself, that's not going to stand at all, is it? So Psalm 119 verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So order my steps means your life is a series of steps and a series of actions. Time is even broken up in incremental steps of seconds and minutes, hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades. And we can see that the order of things has to be according to God's order. Not walking our own way, we're walking according to God's way. It says, order my steps in thy word, meaning that the word of God is the guide and the way to go, to walk in. So that's pretty clear. Logically, God's word is orderly, and our lives, as consistent with following the word, would therefore also be lives according to God's order. So being a Christian consistent in the word is already explained here in a overview way. Let's also look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because one of the things that's going to draw people off from consistency is deception, being inconsistent. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read through some verses here. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, the devil has his orders and his ways to walk in. They're variant ways to the way of God. And there's things that will allure people off the track. Well, what's your guide going to be? A consistent word, isn't it? An inconsistent guide will be to follow a devil. That's going to be an inconsistent way, inconsistent with God, and really devils are against themselves anyway in their very nature, because if you're living for yourself or living for one's own self, that's clearly inconsistent with how society operates, because as soon as you're living for yourself, there's no regard for others, and therefore there's that kind of conflict that will occur. And conflict in society is division or divisive, and therefore division destroys constructs of society. So we see very clearly that, you know, seducing spirits in your life. It's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy families if people live that way. It's going to destroy churches if people go away from right doctrines, because by its very nature, it's the devil leading people off from what is right. And in fact, we should be minding the same thing. We should be of the same heart, the same mind, the same judgment. And the foundation for that is the Word of God. Okay, so we see there a warning. Now let's keep reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting from verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, so that's one of their false doctrines, and commanding to abstain from meats. Well, today we can see there's a woke doctrine about vegetarianism that's so extreme that they can't even wear leather or have honey from bees or use wax and candles. That's how extreme they are in abstaining from meats. Well, that's not a biblical doctrine, is it? Why did God create bees? Well, clearly we know he created bees to do things to help mankind, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, are we grateful that there's plants and there's animals and there's products in earth for our use? Of course. Verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, of course, we pray, we believe. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Tonight, the title of the message is Being a Christian Consistent in the Word, and a major part of that really means being a Christian, not only growing and learning and stepping forward in the Word, but actually understanding, having right doctrine. So there's a work of the devil out there with false religions and wrong ideas to get people off onto wrong ideas, wrong doctrines. So doctrines just mean teachings or understanding. So of course the devil's come along to people and said, well, you know, you can't understand the Trinity. Maybe there is no Trinity. Maybe, you know, people have been teaching it wrong. Maybe Constantine made up this doctrine of the Trinity and has forced it on Christians ever since. We've got to go back to the real Gnostic truth back in the first century. That's a seducing spirit that would teach that doctrine, and yet no doubt you can find books and documentaries teaching that very lie. So we find here in the Bible a guide for truth. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We don't have to keep reading there, but let's look in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start from verse 21. Now here's an interesting passage, because it seems like there's people walking according to the Word of God from an outside perspective. Oh yes, I'm obeying. Look at what I'm doing, people can say. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Look at me, look at this. We must be right because we've got the signs to show it. But are they the proper signs? Matthew chapter 7, starting from verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a big warning there about a fake kind of Christianity that seems to have all these things. Oh, they're saying Lord, you know, they're saying, you know, cast out the devil. They're saying and seemingly doing the right things. But that's only a superficial thing, because Jesus here talks about people actually doing the will of God. That starts from the heart, and very fundamentally with that is an obedience to the actual nature of the commandments of God contained in the Word of God, one of which most importantly is about loving God, and secondly loving your neighbour as yourself. You know, people can do lots of miracles. Paul said this. He said you could give yourself to be a martyr, you could do all these things, but have not charity. In other words, have not love. Well, that would be in vain. You know, you can give the greatest prophecies in the world. Oh yes, thus saith the Lord this and that. Great signs and wonders. But without love, it's actually fake. It's actually meaningless. So clearly, love must be the motivator, not merely, oh, we saw the signs, we saw the works. Love, and as Jesus said here, verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. So you have to know the gospel properly, not just know the part of the gospel it says about casting out the devils. You have to know the gospel properly about knowing you're a sinner and you need to call on Christ. You need to receive from God the gift of salvation, which is, of course, Jesus being our substitute, etc. So you have to understand the gospel. And so it's not enough just to say, look at these works that I'm doing. You know, I'm part of a movement that's doing this. I must be right. It must be good. Verse 24, and this is very foundational and helpful for us. Jesus explains how to be consistent in the word. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. So the first thing, you have to put yourself in a position to hear the word of God. We hear the sayings of Jesus today, not because Jesus is speaking here on earth with his own voice, so to speak, but rather we hear the word of God preached and we read the Bible and hear it read out loud. So we hear his words in that way. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and the hearing is really talking about, it's not just audible hearing, not just sound. Heareth really means you're listening to it, you're receiving it. Hear these sayings of mine and doeth them. So you hear the word and you act on it. It's in you because it's in your heart, and out of your heart your actions follow. Your mouth speaks. Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Okay, so the rock is a picture of hearing God's words and doing them, and the house is the consistency of your life, brick by brick, layer by layer, windows, doors and roof, etc., that's built on top of hearing and doing God's word. So that's your life practicing this. You become more proficient. You become a whole house, a whole building on a strong foundation. What's going to happen in your life when something bad happens or when there's things in the world? Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So your life, built on hearing and doing the words of Jesus, is a life that's going to be like a castle or a lighthouse in a storm. It's going to be standing there and not falling over. It's going to be standing there. That's your life. Now, what's the opposite to that? Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, oh yes, I heard the scripture spoken, and doeth them not, so it's not really an obedience from the heart, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house, which is his life, upon the sand. So he's not building it on the principle of the word of God, of hearing it and doing it, but on some other things. Oh, I heard the word of God, but I went and did my own thing. That's the principle of that man's life. So he's built his life that way, brick upon brick, building his building, his life. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It collapsed in an earthquake, you know, smashed to bits, that's it. And what we can find from this is the principle of this consistency of building the building. You're on the wrong foundation and you're building your life. It's actually inconsistent because the actual foundation is not even a strong foundation. But when you're building on the right foundation consistently, which is hearing and doing the word of God, your life's going to be standing strong. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll look from verse 13. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting from verse 13. And it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax," that means grow by incremental degrees, like the moon every night gets bigger until it becomes a full moon, "shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So that's not a consistent way to be with the word of God, is it? "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," it's being consistent, "and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them," being the proper teachers of the word of God, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Means you're going to get benefit from it. "It is profitable for doctrine." That's understanding and learning and knowing concepts of the word of God. You know, what does God do? What's he like? How things operate in the kingdom of God. They're doctrines. "And profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So being consistent in the word as a Christian means you're going to be living your life according to the word of God, which means you're going to know how things are to be, and it's going to correct errors. It's going to guide you the right way. You're going to do good things because the fruits of righteousness come out of that. And it says in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect. That means he's going to be complete and whole and completely doing the right thing. Throughly furnished unto all good works. So your life is not just for show, but throughly furnished is like the house on the inside has the nice curtains and nice carpet and nice couches and nice everything, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, which means it's fully throughout good and right in everything that you are and do through your being, through your life in every way. So the consistency is not just external, like I'm walking in the right way, but within you everything is functioning properly, every element within you. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. This is a familiar passage. John 8, 31 and 32. So what we're really talking about is knowing and coming into high levels of knowing what is right and good. John 8, 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him," so he's talking to the believers, "if ye continue in my word..." So it's not just enough to believe once. You've got to be consistent and continue in my word. "Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's not just knowing the truth or coming to the first level of knowing truth. It's growing in your knowing every day, all the time, growing in the knowing of the truth. And as you know the truth, it's going to make you free in every area. Because I can tell you this, when you got born again, you probably didn't know about healing and prosperity at all. You probably didn't even know anything about them. So Jesus says that continuing in the word, you're going to know more and more, and it's going to help you more, because as parts of your life, oh, I realize God wants this to be fixed here, or I can come better here and grow here in this way more and more. "And you shall know the truth," as in every area and fully, "and the truth shall make you free." That's completely free, not just one kind of freedom, oh, I'm free from going to hell, but freedom of I can live a life blessed in every dimension on the earth today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll finish with this passage, in fact. Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we find that there's a work of the Spirit with the church. The Spirit is not working contrary to the Word of God. The Spirit is helping the teaching of the Word of God in the church. So the Spirit of God is helping for Christians to be consistent in the Word. So in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll start from verse 11, it says, "And he gave some," it's talking about Jesus, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So these are office ministries in the church. So he gave those things. Now, just that last one there says teachers, for example. But what do teachers teach? They're not teaching made up things, are they? They're teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. So being a Christian consistent in the Word, already God has set up, Jesus has made so that there's gifts for the church, including teachers to teach, to help people understand the Word in the church. So you're not on your own, but in fact there's specific people that have a specific ministry of helping you learn and understand and grow in knowledge of doctrine. Here's the example of it. And verse 12 shows us why, or what the purpose of it is. It says, "For the perfecting of the saints." So you want to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works? Well, you're not just doing that by yourself. It's not just up to you alone, that's it. But there's, for example, teachers and other ministers in the body of Christ helping you for the perfecting of the saints. Not just helping you, but helping, the help is there actually for all the saints. The different ministers everywhere are helping for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So how's the body of Christ built up? By knowledge being built up. And as believers understand and walk, you know, Jesus said, basically, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer also. We know that's a quote from James, but that's the thing Jesus was talking about when he said, build your life on that rock foundation. He's telling us, really, about growing knowledge of all the truth. So understand all different doctrines, because it's going to be helpful. It's going to be helpful to know, oh, this is how to walk in healing. You can't have a deficiency in one area and think you're coming into the perfection of God. Oh, I don't know anything about healing, but I'm certainly walking in prosperity. Well, you need to come into the level of knowledge in all the areas that are needful and all the things that are of the doctrine of God. It's actually called the full counsel of God. So we want there to be all the knowledge and all the teachings available for all the people to benefit in every way, so that there's not one part of the body of Christ or one area of doctrine that's been left behind or not able to be understood properly or not known. So verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." So you can see he wants there to be a unity, he wants there to be a consistency, he wants us to be thinking the same thing. Not robots, but because he wants us all to understand the full banquet of truth that's available. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's the church coming together, growing up corporately, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. So children are ones that don't have full knowledge on things. You know, you have to grow up to have full knowledge of things. That's the analogy. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, I heard this. I heard this on a Christian radio station. Or I heard that. I heard about this revival happening over here. I heard this. People can run here and there and jump from this to that. Well, I've got this latest book that's been advertised that everyone's raving on about. Oh, I must get that. I must be in the know on the latest fad. Well, here we're talking about being no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. by the sleight of men, because someone wanted to make money or had a particular thing they want to push, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there is a consistency, of course. It's based on the word of God, and the Spirit of God is acting consistently with that, as we would understand, that we should all grow up in knowledge in every area, and that's what Christian living is all about. Your Christian walk, your Christian life is about growth from a Christian child to a Christian adult. So your spirit man, or when you're born again, you might be like a spiritual baby, but you grow up because your knowledge is increasing and your understanding and your practicing of things is proficient. So you have your senses exercised to discern what is right and wrong, good and evil. And it tells us there's deceivers there, the devil's out there, men with their own agendas are around the place. We've been warned in plenty of scriptures about false prophets. So we've got to be careful, of course. But the Bible is true, and there's good teachers around the place, because Jesus didn't fail in giving out these gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. He didn't fail in doing that. He didn't fail in getting into different geographical places, true ministers. He didn't fail on that. So that means if you're somewhere around the world today, the work of God is such that he can connect you with believers, you know, and technology can help in this area too, but we know that in fact, really, the principle is about assembling together. So you can't just say, well, we're going to have a Christian revival, but it's going to be on Zoom only. Really, if there's Christian revival, it has to be, it's going to be in people actually being able to meet up together, because the Bible talks specifically about in the congregation and having the Lord's Supper and laying on of hands. You can't do that through your computer screen, but you can do it in person. So God's not unfaithful to have all. He had one believer in one place and that was it, and you're all alone and that's the end. No, we're not called in the ministry of Elijah to be all alone and that's it. In fact, if you actually read that story about Elijah, you'll find that God said that he had a whole many people, thousands of people who were of the same category as well. So you're not lone old Elijah, you know, moaning about the state of apostasy in this world, you know, crying that it's only you that's faithful and everyone else has gone to apostasy. The truth is that God has his people, and in fact he's raising up his army of people. It says in Isaiah 60 that in fact the forces of the Gentiles shall be converted. So it's not poor lone old you, but rather God is raising up children unto Abraham, actually, and that's the gospel message. The gospel message is that nations are to be blessed. Therefore, there must be kindreds and families and people turning to the Lord, not one person off in the desert by themselves, languishing, waiting for the end of Christianity in history. So what we find here is that the church, in verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's a positive upward growth. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, that's coming to understand unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the level we're growing to. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So you're important, every person's important, because you've got a part to play in doing something in the body of Christ. I'll read that again, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so we can understand that what's important in this is that the word of God is the same word for every single person in the body of Christ. And so When you're starting from having one standard like that, then the Holy Ghost can use all these different people. Yes, every person's got their different gifts. You're in different geographic locations. People are living at different times. Some people are old, some people are young. But the Holy Ghost is working to bring together the whole. But the foundation is the consistent, universal Word of God. And on that basis, we can see and understand today the answer and have a working knowledge of being a Christian consistent in the Word. Let's close with prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we have this understanding, Lord, that we are encouraged and go forward and don't go astray, don't give heed to wrong things, but remain faithful to the truth. We pray for that in the name of Jesus. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.